Two more scripture passages this evening I'd like to share with you. The first comes from the 19th Psalm. I'll be reading it in its entirety. The psalmist writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises as one into the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. There is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are much more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey and honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant secret. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And then, turning to the Gospel of Matthew, I'm going to be reading from the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me!' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it in their hearts. I don't know if any of you are kind of outdoor types or ever been hiking or those sort of things. I just got back last week from 8 days up in Baxter State Park in northern Maine. If you've ever been up there, but many years ago in the 1930s, Percival Proctor Baxter gave this gift to the state of Maine of these beautiful acreage within which is Mount Katahdin, the highest point in Maine. And part of the gift was that you couldn't take automobiles or any kind of motorized vehicles into the park outside of just the perimeter. So as a result, they've cut all these footpaths that go deep into the park. And as you get into it, you find that so much of the land continues to be unspoiled. It's pure. It's beautiful. I took a group of 7 students up there. We were going to go backpacking for 5 days and then hop in canoes and do 3 days worth of canoeing down the East Branch of Penobscot River. You can imagine these teenagers having to put a week's worth of gear, including tents and sleeping bags and cooking pots and food, all on these packs, most of which were bigger than they were, and then get these packs on their back to prepare for what proved to be over 30 miles of hiking across the Baxter State wilderness. Nevertheless, they were excited about it. Pretty anxious, but at the same time raring to go. They got the packs on their back, and we took off for a 4-mile brief hike up to a place called Chimney Pond. I don't know if you've ever been to Chimney Pond, but if you've never been to Chimney Pond, this needs to be on a must-see list. You sit at the basis of this pond from which you can still drink. It's a freshwater spring. The water doesn't need to be purified. You can just pull it right out and drink it. And right engulfing the pond on three sides is the Mount Katahdin Range, the mountains including Pomola and Baxter Peak, what you've heard of called the Knife Edge, around to something called Hamlin Peak. And then around you, if you're quiet enough and patient enough, the moose come up to the water to drink. In fact, one of our students nearly jumped out of his own skin when a moose and his two babies came strolling up to him. He turned around and about knocked them down. Actually, you can't knock a moose down. But he almost got knocked down by the moose. First time I ever saw a bald eagle was up in Baxter Park. In addition to a grouse that attacked us as it tried to protect its young, ospreys, deer, all sorts of things right within almost our grasp. It was wonderful to get a sense of getting away from the city and getting away from the real world. But as I thought about this getting away, it hit me that maybe this, while I was experiencing this Chimney Pond, this, the outdoors, was indeed what the real world really was. For it was this that God had created with His hands. It was this that we knew as His sanctuary. And I felt for a moment as I stood at the base of those mountains, in front of that pond, that indeed I had a privilege, a deep privilege, to stand there in His sanctuary. And I know you've had these experiences if you've ever been up in the mountains. And as you read through the Psalms, you find the psalmists are always taken aback by the power and majesty of the creation of God. You heard a bit of it in Psalm 19. Here in Psalm 104, here's just a bit more. The psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. You wrap yourself in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You lay the beams of your upper chambers on their waters. You make the clouds your chariots and ride on the wings of the wind. You make winds your messengers, flames of fire your servants. You set the earth on its foundation that cannot be moved. You covered it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take flight. They flow over the mountains. They go down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." Every Thanksgiving, my family reads this 104th Psalm because it goes on to outline the intricacies of God's hand as it's touched so many parts of His creation. The thing that's amazing about being in a place like Baxter Park or out into the sanctuary of God is that even people that don't have what we would probably call Christian faith are nevertheless overwhelmed. One of our most famous writers from New England, of course, is Henry David Thoreau, who was a philosopher, a naturalist, records his life in harmony with nature in his famous book, Walden. And again, while he was not considered a man of evangelical faith, he was one for whom the power of creation had an amazing impact. These are the words he wrote as he stood atop of Mount Katahdin in Maine. He wrote, "Talk of mysteries. Think of our life in nature, daily to be shown matter, to come in contact with it. Rocks, trees, winds on our cheek, the solid earth, the actual world, the common sense. Contact, contact. Who are we? Where are we?" Sense of disillusionment as he stands engulfed within the beauty of this place. And I know what he's talking about because after we spent our first lunch at Chimney Pond, we decided to hike up to Baxter Peak. And so they dropped their packs, they made their lunch, and then we took off up this mountain ledge, which isn't like walking on a trail. Come and say, "Jesus, we need You. We need You desperately." Interesting, God doesn't try to court us. Again, He doesn't try to schmooze us. No, He teaches us that we need Him. And He does so by allowing life to be tough. And then when we reach out to Him, He reaches out to us. And He strengthens us, just like as we hike, to take one more step. The last part of our trip, we moved from land to water. We went from the hiking to the river. And you think about water, a source of life, as a quencher of thirst, And yet you pick up the newspaper every day and you read about how life, the water's a killer. You look at the floods in the Midwest and you can't believe it. Cities underwater. Our canoeing on the water had a lot of different kinds of adventures. We ran rapids. We tied all our boats together one day and sort of made a flotilla, we called it, as we just sort of worked our way down the flat water. We swam. A couple of scary moments. Had two kids who were supposed to shoot this rapid and then cut to the left before they caught a waterfall. Unfortunately, their hand-eye coordination got a little backwards and their paddling ended up back out in the current. We had these life ropes set up, you know, we could throw out and catch them. But the guys who were throwing them, I'm not sure what happened, but they all came short. And it was amazing because as these two kids were heading for that waterfall, and all of us just stood with bug-eyed, not sure what to do. It was just like the hand of God came down and went boom and stopped them in track, because they came upon a rock, the canoe stopped, and they were able to hop out and wait as we continued to try to throw that life rope to them. The days in which we canoed, except for that one incident, were beautiful. Gorgeous days. And we thought nothing could be better than being out on a boat in the water. But the last day, as we were out in the water, the rains came, the wind came, and the canoeing was awful. To go a mere 3 miles took almost 7 hours because we were having to paddle against the wind and against the rain. We struggled, and it was hard, but we struggled and paddled nevertheless, trusting in God to give us the strength to do it. I think of Christ on the water in this last scripture reading for tonight that I read earlier. I think of the story from Matthew. We see here that the disciples have gone out on the boat and that they're waiting for Jesus to come, but the storm comes and the wind comes up against them. And just as they, I imagine, are thinking that Jesus isn't going to make it, he comes out to them on the water. Can you even imagine what that scene would look like? Here you are being tossed back and forth in the water, wondering how in the world Jesus is ever going to come up, catch up to you. And here he comes strolling on the lake. Take courage, he tells to Peter, when Peter requests that he might come out on the water and join him. Peter, always sort of adventuresome sort, thinks that if Jesus can do it, gosh, why can't I do it too? So he says, Jesus, make it happen. And Jesus says, sure, come on. And so Peter jumps out in the water, finds that it holds him up. Then, of course, eventually reality takes hold and he thinks, what in the world am I doing out here trying to walk on water? He gets scared and he starts to sink in it. And he screams to Jesus, Jesus, help me! And Jesus reaches out his hand, pulls him back up onto the water and says, gee whiz, Peter, where was your faith? Why did you doubt? Well, because, Jesus, people don't just walk on water. They don't stroll out there. The funny thing is, Jesus asked these questions, I imagine, while he's still standing on the water. They all climb back in the boat. The wind dies down. And now they're face to face, not only with the power of the wind and the water, but with the one who conquered it, created it, and now calms it. Not only with the creation of God, but they're face to face with God Himself. I thought about all of this as I made my way through Baxter State Park. I thought of coming face to face with God, with meeting Jesus, with confronting truth, and in that truth seeing power. And in that power being humbled. Yet in the midst of all that immense power, in the midst of all that humility, there is love. And there is satisfaction. And there is an exhaustion at the end of the day that nevertheless exclaims yes. Absolutely yes. God is there, and no matter how high or how deep or how wide or how steep or how impossible it seems, as I walk my way through life, His hand is going to reach out. And He and I together are going to do the impossible. We're going to walk on water together. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, thanks for the reminders that we are indeed under Your mercy. That while we want to try to do it all ourselves, the truth is that You are the only one that can carry us through the struggles of life. You're the only one that can do the impossible in the face of impossible situations. And so we trust, Lord Jesus, that we would not rely upon our own comforts and upon our own selves, but we cast ourselves wholly on You, knowing that indeed You are a God of great and amazing love. We pray all of this in your powerful name, Lord Christ. Amen.